You know, there is a big goodbye coming for all of us. Here's the newsflash, friends. We're all going to die one day. I hope this doesn't come as a shock or surprise to any of you, though certainly in our culture, we are not encouraged to think about this much or at all. And what we do at the end of our lives is very important. This is, unfortunately, a very countercultural notion these days. Permit me to rant just a little bit. It is a particularly foolish reality in our fast-paced, technology-driven, youth-oriented culture that we don't pay much attention or respect to older people. Young people can give us great tips on how to use our iPhones, but they aren't nearly as knowledgeable or wise concerning things like healthy relationships or virtuous behavior or getting a true and broad perspective on life. They can help us understand what's happening today, but they are much less adept at figuring out how it relates to what's happening forever or why it matters. Older people could help us with this stuff if we would listen to them. But in a culture that seems to like pretending that death is optional, we find a few additional cultural curiosities. We see the comedy of the attraction of youth deceiving, as though we could really hang on to it. Old people who should know better, desperately trying to stay young. Physically attractive, emotionally childish, morally footloose, socially irresponsible, and spiritually ignorant. We see the tragedy of the foolishness of youth prevailing. As though the movies are right, and any problem worth solving can get worked out in 2 hours and 15 minutes. And anything worth knowing happened less than a week ago. And teenagers really are the smartest people in the world. Responsible actions, things like looking before you leap, balancing budgets, and sacrificing today in order to have a better tomorrow, just don't sell. Now, don't get me wrong. Young people are great. I love young people. I've got a few of my own. Their vitality, their enthusiasm, their freshness, their courage, their willingness to challenge worn-out and empty traditions, these are all very good things. But there is wisdom that only comes with age and experience. And the culture that ignores this is in serious trouble. Friends, modern Americans, I think we are in serious trouble. How we live today will be very important, even determinative, for what we will do at the end of our lives and how we will die. Joshua models this for us. He was a faithful and courageous hero for God in the way he lived and in the way he died. What kind of end-of-life concerns do we hear about today? Prolonging our lives as long as possible? Maintaining our personal quality of life? Making sure financial support for such priorities will be sufficient, personally and corporately? Will the Social Security and Medicare we've been paying into have anything left in the bank when it's our turn to collect? That seems to be something people are very concerned about these days. It's an end-of-life issue. These are good things. These are important things. But are they the best things? His times were very different, but I believe the biblical principles hold true still today. What was Joshua concerned about at the end of his life? We don't have to guess. We are blessed to have Joshua 23 and 24 as part of the conquest story of God's people under Joshua. Joshua's farewell speech, part A in chapter 23, we're going to talk about that this week, and part B in chapter 24, we'll talk about that next week. This farewell speech shows him to be a true hero. And in it, he models for us some heroic and redemptive end-of-life concerns. Listen for them as we read through Joshua 23 together. Hear the word of God. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered, between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God has promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000, because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened, until he has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to hear this challenging word today in a way that makes a difference for our lives. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you, to hear and receive what you would give us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Joshua is getting old. He's about to go the way of all the earth, as he says. What does he do? Well, he doesn't retreat into deserved rest and retirement. That's a good word for us in our culture, friends. He decides it is time for him to talk to the elders of Israel, who will in turn talk to the youngers. He calls them to hear and affirm the values and priorities that have characterized his leadership after the model of Moses and according to the call of Yahweh God. Joshua's end-of-life concerns, number one, the honor of God's name. Remember him and what he has done, he says. Every time Joshua mentions his own advanced years and impending death, he immediately points his listeners to God and what God has done. He is saying, in effect, it's not about me, it never was. Hey, I'm not the one. It's not by my power that these people have been driven out and this land has been conquered. The Lord God has done this. And you've seen it. And Joshua points out the flawless character of God. He keeps his promises. And he holds out the ongoing promise of God. He will keep fighting for you as long as you don't forget about him. hold his name in highest esteem. Love him. Don't start thinking it's all about us and giving ultimate honor to me or to us. Honor God. He tells them to let their tried and true experience in the past guide their way into a blessed future. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done until now. Verse 8. And then at the high point of his chapter 23 speech, Joshua says this. Verse 11. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Joshua's end of life concerns the honor of God's name and the welfare of God's people. Clearly, Joshua has the future of his people in view, and he wants it to be one of prosperity and success rather than despair, or freedom rather than slavery, of life-giving faithfulness to God rather than deadly idolatry. So he pleads with them to be strong and careful to obey God. So he warns them of the dangers of being led astray by those who do not know Yahweh God or serve him. We could perhaps summarize Joshua's penultimate speech in a word. Farewell. Not just goodbye, not just I'm leaving, but farewell. What Joshua says reveals to the Israelites what they must do in order to fare well in the future. Remember, resolve, and respect. His words are wise and applicable for us today as they were then. What did God's people in 1400 BC and what do God's people in 2012 AD need to do in order to fare well? First, remember and rehearse what the Lord God has done. Joshua calls them to go back over what God has done, to rehearse in their minds and in their speaking to one another the mighty acts of the living God. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. The Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. We are wise to do these things together today. How do we do it? Bible study. What we do on Sundays. What we do in messages on Sundays and Sunday school on Sundays. What we're going to do in a big way on Wednesday nights with the story. Reading together the whole of the Bible in a bit of an abbreviated fashion. But what are we doing? We are remembering and rehearsing the mighty acts of God, what he has done in history, how he has saved us. We are wise to do this. Come join with us on Wednesday nights. Keep coming on Sundays. We do this when we give testimony to God's presence and power in our lives, as we've heard beautifully from our friend Don Colton today. What God has done in my life. We remember and rehearse what God the Lord God has done, and we resolve to remain faithful. If some of you I see following along in your bulletin outlines, you can fill in the blanks. Resolve to remain faithful. Joshua establishes the foundation of God's prior actions and continuing faithfulness. Then he calls his people to build healthy lives on that foundation by their own faithful obedience to God. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Do not invoke the names of foreign gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. Hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. When the world around us says God is a dead relic of our superstitious past and our faith in him is silly, we read Joshua and say yes with him to God. And we pray for the world around us. How are God's people going to fare well? Third, respect and reject covenant-breaking behavior. Joshua finally points out that there is a choice his people must make, and that the importance of this choice is beyond imagining. Choose to follow the Lord God, to be faithful to Him, to obey His clear instructions, and you will find yourselves in the life you have always wanted. The life everybody really wants. One full of blessings, supported by the power of Almighty God, whose love is a solid rock. Know that your God will not rearrange Himself, His character, or His truth to accommodate your foolish imaginations or covenant-breaking behaviors. So know also that your choices to break covenant, to follow other gods, to obey your own desires and appetites rather than God's good commands, will unleash curses you don't want to experience. Joshua is concerned for his people's future health and wholeness, so he calls them to respect these horrendous curses promised by God, and so reject such covenant-breaking behavior. Joshua is still worth listening to and following today. His word of encouragement toward faithful living for God and of warning against following the ways of a world in rebellion against God is as valuable today as it was 3,400 years ago. His example of living and speaking for God, even in the twilight of his life, offers a good model for us in a culture that suggests we haven't got much of value or interest to do after the age of 35 or so. As we will see, after Joshua goes the way of all the earth, the people will get lazy, get worldly, and get in trouble. But as we know, the faithfulness and power and goodness and grace of Yahweh God doesn't rise and fall with the fickle behavior of His weak people. Praise God. The promised curses will be visited upon unfaithful Israel. They will gain and then lose a kingdom. Actually, two of them. Nevertheless, God's plan for salvation and redemption continues to unfold. The book of Judges is coming, and it is not a pretty story. But the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are also coming. Jesus will come. And He will live the life we men and women are made to live. And He will die. And He will be raised. And He, the new Yeshua, the new Joshua, Jesus, will accomplish what the first Joshua's words pointed people to, but were powerless to bring them to. Life. Joshua's speech provides a wonderful Old Testament backdrop to our communion celebration today. Jesus' concern in His life, death, and resurrection? The honor of His Father's name. The welfare of His people. Joshua's words help us to understand what we do around the table of our Lord in response to Him. We remember and rehearse what the Lord God has done. Do this in remembrance of me. On the night He was betrayed, we resolve to remain faithful. We don't come participating in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, forgetting about Him. No, we remember Him. It's all about Him. It's not about us at all, except that we are faithful by the grace of God and the gift of faith He's given us to open empty hands and receive what He gives us, equipping ourselves for faithful living in the month ahead. Come to the table respecting what our sin has meant. God the Son died because of it. And so rejecting covenant-breaking sinful behavior. Listen, Jesus didn't die so we could sin with impunity. That's stupid. Jesus died because without Him we are slaves to sin, which always deceives us, always destroys us, always dishonors God, and always separates us from Him. And those are bad things. Jesus died in order to be raised and to raise us. In so doing, He revolutionized the art of goodbye. You know, if you think about it, the best goodbyes always include some form of see you later, which I think is what I tend to say. See you later. What are we saying when we say see you later? See you later. See you next time. We're saying this isn't it. When we part at the church doors today, see you later, it means we anticipate that there will be a time later when we will get together, right? This isn't it. There's hope for the future in our relationship. We'll be back together again. Jesus made that the reality of every goodbye that we experience as followers of His, as those redeemed by Him, as those who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Every goodbye is a see you later, including the goodbye of death. I might add, including the goodbye of separating from a wonderful presbytery, a denomination that has great people in it, but that has strayed from the truth of God. It's not the end. Goodbye. This is what we feel God leading us to do, but we'll see you again. There will be a glad heavenly reunion in Jesus Christ with no denominations, with no groups of people trying to figure out what the truth is and arguing with one another and sometimes making horrendous mistakes. There will be face-to-face fellowship with God, whose truth will be known and who will be known and enjoyed face-to-face, and we'll be there. See you later. And Jesus made all of that happen. I'm reminded of my friend Bob Dragix. Remember Bob? What a wonderful part of our church family for so many years. And a while back he died, and the last words he said to me that I remember was in the emergency room of the hospital. And in typical fashion for Bob, he looked at me with that boyish grin, even in the emergency room. And you know what he said? He said, "Well, Pastor Jay, I'm going to beat this." Doesn't that sound like Bob? Next time I saw him, he was in a coma. And he stayed in that coma until his body finally gave up. But you know what? Bob Dragix, in Jesus Christ, through faith in Him, by the power of God, who is fighting for him, beat it, didn't he? Amen? Amen. Amen. He beat it. At the communion table, we are encouraged to remember these things. Remember, goodbye, redone. Eternally, in the deepest and highest way. See you later. I will see you later. I will see you forever. And we are encouraged to follow both Yeshuas, both Joshuas, Jesus of Nazareth and Joseph of the period of and Joshua of the period of conquest. True heroes depart as they have lived, saying to others, farewell, and working to make that word of blessing a reality. That's what Jesus did. That's what Joshua did. That's what we're called to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the power of your word and the promises that you give us that are true in you. Lord, we thank you that you were the God fighting for your people in a in a tangible way, in a way that confuses us in certain ways, but that we can certainly see in flesh and blood terms as you fought for your people as they conquered in the promised land. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who fights for us still today. Lord, you fight for us against all kinds of external opposition that would lead us astray, that would lie to us, that would harm us in ways that are significant. Lord, you also fight for us against those internal realities of our own doubt, our own insecurity, our own fears. Lord, thank you. Thank you that in Jesus Christ, you indeed still lead people into the promised land. Only this is a much bigger promise and a much bigger land, eternal life in you. Lord, we thank you that you help us in so many ways, and one of those ways is the sacraments, that you invite us to gather together, not just remembering you, but participating with you in a special way around your table. Lord, we pray that you help us to do that well today. We pray all these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.